Good stuff with Marcus Thompson awaits because Steph Curry is making history. Reading Marcus's column in The Athletic,
right?
He makes the case that MVP isn't enough to encapsulate what he's doing.
I'm in for that. I'm in for that conversation. Nice.
And he points out, like we point out, when he faced the two guys who are supposed to be the MVPs, Joel Embiid last night, 49 for Steph, Nikola Jokic a couple weeks ago,
right?
53 for Steph. So. All sorts of great stuff in this column, Marcus. Welcome back to the Murph and Max Show. You're not at Disney World, I understand. And how you doing, man?
Yes, I am not at Disney World. I am the happiest place. I am at the happiest place on Earth, however, which is Oakland.
There you go. Nice.
My home.
Yeah, and you said, here I'm going to pry into the Marcus Thompson privacy.
Here
realm,
we go.
But you put it on Twitter, though. You just recently did a move, huh?
Oh,
I'm still doing it. So we did the slow. We did the slow play, right? We it's not far. We're moving like around a corner, basically, like 3 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So I'm like taking a few boxes here, a few boxes there, slow packing. So we doing it over the course of a couple of weeks.
It's like a baseball season. You're like playing 162 in the move. Right? Yeah.
A lot of ball left.
I kind of wish we probably should have just knocked it all out, but you know, this felt like the smarter plan. Except it's me carrying all these boxes. You know? So I'm just carrying boxes, like three boxes in my car every once an hour, just riding to the house.
Piecemeal, so, they say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, my friend. So there you go, man. So if he can't get the MVP because it's too, what he's doing is too good. What do we give him? The MHP, most historic player?
You don't give him anything. This is me getting esoteric with it, right? Like this, you know. You never, you know. Paulie was one of these type of people who, you know, meet the girl, and then you know they'd have a good thing going. He said, "You know what, man? We don't need to put titles on it.
Nice.
We don't need to confine this.
We don't need to box ourselves in. Right. We don't need to confine ourselves.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it bolsters Steph's legend if he has a season where it's like, man, he should have been MVP that year. We're gonna look back at this and it's gonna be Jokic with the MVP, and people who were there will be like, yeah, but we know. Just like when Jordan didn't win in '97 and Malone won, it's like, man, we know. Anybody who won an MVP in the air, we know what's up. Like, that's what he's doing. He's putting himself in a stratosphere where, like, it's just too big for that. We will all understand. LeBron has 4 MVPs. We know he has more, right? Like, we understand that. And if you didn't watch LeBron, you don't understand that. And I feel like Steph is owed that level of mythical, you know, like, I don't want to be – you can't explain Steph in stats and awards. You just can't do it. Yeah, he's 2-time MVP, energy, all that. You still don't get it if that's what you're saying Steph is. You had to watch. You had to experience it in order to really understand what it was like. And I like that. I like that he gets that honor because not very many players do.
Yeah. Well said. It's great said. And in the column, Marcus writes, he says, what you should be thinking is just what a time to be alive. And you're right. And then great quote from Doc Rivers. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like the run he's been on. I always like the quotes from the other guys, too, because we, you know, asking Steve Kerr every night is like, okay, let's hear from somebody else. In Rivers, you quote Rivers, there are guys that I guess have scored the points in the stretch he has, but I guarantee you there's none that has scored them the way he has. It's been an art watching him play. It's just been a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, Marcus, you wrote a book on him, Golden, if the kids want to go buy it and read it. There's your plug, dude. It's my contention that he's playing better now than he did in his unanimous MVP season. Do you agree or disagree?
I've been so torn about it. I've come to the conclusion that he's a better player now. What he did back then was better. When you start looking at, I don't know, he's starting to get there with some of these teams he's beaten, but you know, he was beating everybody. They were dogging teams, and
true.
So much was at stake, right? Yeah. So much was under pressure, but like they beat that OKC team 3 times that year, right? It's like that team was loaded. So it's just like they were taking all comers. It was a different level of pressure and expectation. Remember, at some point, it became about Jason Jordan. Like, the height of that and the stakes of all that were so big, I kind of lean that way. But just watching the two players, like, he's a better basketball player right now. Like, he's doing this without the spacing, without much of anything, really, right? Like, he doesn't have veteran experience on the team. He doesn't have spacing. He doesn't have another playmaker. Like, he doesn't have the freedom of movement other guys get to enjoy, except last night he did, because Doc Rivers was like, yeah, let's just play him straight up, and it burned him. But he's facing the crazy defenses, so he's a better basketball player right now. But what he did back then, I don't want to understate that, because it was nuts when it was happening, more nuts than I think even this is.
Yeah, recency bias is a real thing, and it is true. But I think you're right. I think he's more skilled now, which is incredible, right? Isn't there? I mean, the belief in NBA circles is, I mean, baseball's different, football's different. What's the belief in NBA circles is when you're at your peak? What's the traditional thinking?
Like 28 to 32.
Like Kawhi right now, maybe.
Yeah. Like Steph when he went off last time, right? 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That was the window. I mean, look, he's the first player 33 or older to get you 30 points a game for 11 games. Like, this doesn't happen. And it was Kobe was the last one. Like, you go look at what Jordan was doing at 33, 34. Like, this was Jordan. At 32, as a guard, like, guards are just so based on athleticism and speed. And that stuff goes away. Like, it starts declining. Chris Paul has been amazing because he's 35 and he's still doing it. I mean, he's not doing what Steph is doing, but he's still a really great guard who's carrying a winning team.
Right.
You just don't see this. So 28 to 32 is a typical window. About 31, 32 is where you start seeing a decline. And Steph is not only so in a great situation, right, in an ideal situation, you can hold what you are at 28 to 32. This is the part that amazes me about Steph. If he just held who he was until he was 34, 35, that would have been great. But Steph has decided to be better. And who gets better at 33? That's the part that's crazy. The dude is better at 33 than he ever was, which is insane.
I mean, it's not apples to apples, but I guess Tom Brady's the only – I don't know if Brady's better now, but I guess what we're seeing is a new generation between Brady and Curry, and I know they're 10 years apart, but – guys are redefining what we should expect out of the body.
Yeah.
I don't think Brady's better either. I think he's there are some areas where he's probably definitely not better. But you know, you could see some of his arm strength, whatever, right? But he's just mentally so high above it. That's how it normally goes. Like, you know, your mental catches up with your physical, and that's kind of the prime, and then eventually it surpasses it. So Brady, to me, is more of a Jedi, right? Steph is a Jedi with the 25-year-old body.
Nice.
And that's the part that's crazy, right? Like, he can literally do things he couldn't do. Like, it's just what I've been saying this all year. Watch him drive to the basket. You cannot keep this guy in front of you. He is getting by everybody. He hit Matisse Thybulle, who's a great defender, with a 1-2 and was by him. And I remember, like, we have the visual of what Steph looks like when he can't get by the guy, right? Kevin Love, when his knee was hurting. But you don't ever see that anymore. He is by you. One-on-one in space, you got to double-team him because he's getting past his man in a way he's never done before. So we're seeing him physically be better, and it's aligning with this algorithm that has 5 years of NBA Finals runs in his brain, right? So he's Neo in the Matrix. Like, he figured it out.
We can keep talking about all these different angles. Marcus Thompson of The Athletic after Steph goes for 49 last night. Warriors beat the Sixers 107 to 96. Here's one negative question here. Is it different if Ben Simmons plays last night?
Yes, of course it is. Absolutely. Ben Simmons is incredible, and that changes things. The Warriors need these things, right? They're not a good team. They're not a great team. So, yeah, they, They had a great last game against Boston. You can only play
the team that's in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like in the third quarter with 7:29 left, Philly isn't thinking, "Oh, we had Ben Simmons." Like, nah, man. Shake Milton hitting corner threes. Like people are playing. That's the critique about the NBA Finals out here. When it was Game 5 and it was LeBron v. Steph and everybody was playing, it was a close game. Nobody was thinking about who wasn't there. It was all about who was there. Nice. And that's how it is. So, the Warriors didn't have people either. So that's,
exactly. That's no. I was just answering. I have a buddy in Philly, and he was, you know, typical Philly guy, and giving Steph no credit and telling him, oh, Simmons wasn't there. I just, you know what, dude? Come
but
on.
But anyway. The point? Is it that Philly's better? Yeah, Philly's better. That's what made the team so great.
You win. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you can add some layers on this angle, though. The Seth angle. And it was funny. I think Steph was pretty – I mean, listen, we've known this for years about their relationship and their competitiveness and their friendship and their love and all that. But Steph was really fun and open last night saying, oh, yeah, because his ankle. You know, his ankle. He was a question mark until an hour before the game, Marcus. And then they're like, did Seth have a role in you playing? And he was like, oh, yeah,
So, didn't you feel for Seth? Was there a part of you at all?
A little bit.
Did you, Marcus? Do you know him at all? Do you know him much?
Yes, there was. Seth is very reserved. He keeps to himself, but he's ultra competitive, right?
Yeah.
There was a moment where Steph, they were trying to double, and Seth was trying to get over there after the screen, and Embiid wouldn't step up. So Steph gets off the three before Seth gets there. But Seth makes this valiant effort, right? He's running and he's jumping because he knows what's coming. And Steph hits the shot, and you could just see the dejection. He just, like, his shoulders slung. I was like, this dude been dealing with this his entire life.
But the thing is, he
can't catch a break.
Yeah. And Steph not giving him a break. Like, Steph was saying, like, yeah, oh, yeah, I wanted to. Oh, yeah.
Foot to the floor.
That's not what they do, man. They've been doing since they were kids. Yeah, they've been going after Seth believes he's as good. Like, that's how he got to the NBA. Like, man, I've been playing with my brother forever, and I've been giving my brother buckets. I've been with him. We've been neck and neck. We've been playing. So if he could do this, I can make the NBA. That's how Seth made it. That belief. Like, I'm playing with this dude every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Awesome.
I give him problems so I can make the NBA. So absolutely. Seth, they've been doing this since they were, oh, man, little kids. They used to go to the park, and they would have to take their bigger cousin with them because they were so little, and they would be out there dogging dudes, and people would want to fight.
Oh, no.
Cousin from the country with them, like, as protection, because them two dudes would get out there, make all these shots, and everybody in the hood is like, get them. I don't like them.
Get them.
Hold on. You're not touching them.
Yeah.
Right? It's what they do.
If, from what you know about the family, what is does Sonya and Dell just call Seth last night and say, hey, man, it's okay. It's all right.
He's doing that to everybody. Yeah, it's not just you.
I think if you know Seth, you don't make that call.
You just leave him alone?
Oh, there you go.
You leave him alone?
Yeah.
In all fairness, he brought it on himself. He knew what he was – that first quarter, he was taking this step. We saw this in the Western Conference Finals when they played Portland. Like, he gives Steph problems. He just knows his game. Steph had a bunch of turnovers in the first quarter. Seth hitting threes in his face. He knew what that was going to do. Like, he brought this on himself. He should have saved it to the fourth quarter, but he did it early.
Yeah.
And then it was 29-0.
And did you hear – well, you obviously you were on the Zoom, but Steph's comment, by the fourth quarter, I didn't have to say anything. He said
– I didn't have to say anything, right? I was like, oh.
They're only 2 years apart. They're close in age. So, I mean, they grew – I mean, like you said, everything. And so I bet Steph thinks of that game last night less of the 49 points in the win than it was the Seth game, maybe, for him. You know?
Absolutely. And you know what's crazy, too, is, like, there is literally no bigger fan of Steph than his brother. I mean, like, he used to run home from the games at Liberty to watch Steph play. He didn't miss Steph games until he got to the NBA. He doesn't miss Steph games. He's the guy arguing about how great his brother is. Like, there's no bigger fan of Steph than his brother. So I just was like, yo, how awkward is that? Like, can he be really mad? Is he really mad, or is he really rooting for him? Like, what is that like? when you're like, yo, that's my brother hitting these shots, but they're on me and my team. Like, I wonder what that's really like, because he loves watching Steph play. Like, he loves his brother playing, but, man, sometimes he gets burned by it. So I was like, is he really mad now, or is he kind of like, yeah, go, bruh. Go do your thing. Show him.
It's really cool, and because traditionally brothers – it's not equal, and I know Seth is nowhere near Steph, but he's good, man. He's averaging 12 points a game. He's averaging 29 minutes a game for a team that's leading the East. I mean, he's not, and I don't mean to pick this guy when he's down, but like the difference between like Jason and Jeremy Giambi. Now, Jeremy actually was a decent little player, but he never came close to achieving Jason's heights. You think
should
about
have slid, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. Still, that's it. See? Still thinking about it. Yeah. Still thinking about it. 20 years
Sorry,
later.
My bad.
Hank and Tommy Aaron, you know, there's, you know, generally there is that one brother that is superior, but Seth's good, man. You know, it's like he's not a schlub. He's having maybe the best year of his career. I mean, maybe in Dallas a few years ago he had a little better, but so that's what's so hard for him is like, I'm out here. I can play, you know, and
yeah,
I just can't,
he's good.
I can't keep up with this guy.
And his story is so, like, low-key incredible. Like, he wasn't recruited either. He went to Liberty, and Steph blew up, and all of a sudden Coach K is like, yo, maybe these Curry guys are good, right?
But
he's had the injuries.
Man.
He's been through the G League. Like, there were times in his career that it didn't look like he would make it. Remember, he had, like, a cup of coffee with the Warriors and couldn't make the team. So he's literally had to build himself into a starting NBA player who just got a nice contract. So his story, you know, it's obviously not like this Hall of Fame story, but it's pretty incredible what he's pulled off all in the shadow of his brother, right? Where sometimes that can get to you and make you not want to, you know, kind of push it there. But he's done it, and he's turned himself into an NBA player, which is pretty impressive, because there was a time it didn't look like his body would get in there, and it didn't look like he was good enough. And now suddenly he might end up in the finals, right? Hitting big shots off Joel Embiid.
He could theoretically win a championship. So great stuff. Well described. Well conversated.
Yeah,
enjoyed
good
it,
session,
Marcus.
Marcus. Yeah,
now go
man.
Pick up like two more boxes and just make the 3-minute drive. All right,
yeah.
Buddy.
A lot of ball
hey,
left.
Murph, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you
yes,
a question?
Yes, sir. You
when
got
did
it.
You when did you get okay? At what point did you get okay, like, when these moments in the Bay happen, like, not right? Like, I was curious about that. Like, because it's so in the blood. You know what I'm saying?
You know what it was? For example, like, oh, my first year not writing was Tiger's 05 Masters when he chipped in on Chris DeMarco, and I would have been there, and the pain was real. It never leaves you, Marcus. It's like a limb. It's like that phantom limb that you scratch. You know, they always say, like, if a person loses a limb and they scratch it, it never leaves. You never get over it. Never get over it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. We're gonna have to talk about this. You're gonna need to counsel me through some stuff.
Will.
I can tell.
You never. <All right. laughs> Yeah, but we can talk about it. We can, man. Once we can go unmasked at Chase Center, I'll meet you there. All right, buddy. All right, bud.
I'm with
there
it.
He is, Marcus Thompson. Hey, this Murph and Mac Show sponsored by O'Donnell Financial. O'Donnell Financial Group, because planning is a process for loans, insurance, investments, and retirement. Call Greg O'Donnell at 866-496-2300. Kevin Gausman. Live from Philly.
Nice.
Next.
Okay.
KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.